All right, I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms once again. Book of Psalms, chapter 95. We're going to preach the other half of a message that I started a couple of weeks ago. And come, let us worship. It's been our theme for the last few weeks, and will continue to be our theme for the next few weeks. And I hope that it's a theme that at minimum reminds us of how vital and important worship is. And it has certainly done that for me. And so tonight, Psalms 95, verses 6 through 11, will you stand as we read from the Word of God? O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come today to worship You, to praise You as God, because You are God. There is none besides You. Father, we bow before You, asking Your blessings and Your guidance in this Bible study. Open our minds and our hearts, and Lord, speak to us through Your Word. Move in our midst as You see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Two things that I want to cover tonight in worship that is brought out in the text that we just read. First thing is reverence. The second thing is response. In worship, there must be a reverence, or there should be a reverence. Have you ever wondered, why are we supposed to kneel and pray? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, quite often, and to be honest with you, I fear that we're living in a generation that has lost the reverence. We don't know how to be reverent toward anything or anyone anymore because we just don't do it. In the text that we read, we're told three things. It says, come, let us worship. The worship, that word worship, means to bow down. Then it says, let us bow down. You know what the word bow down means in the Hebrew? It means to bow down. And then it says, let us kneel. You know what that means? Same thing. Worship, to bow down. To bow down, to bow in submission and humility. To kneel, to get on one's knees as a sign of reverence and submission. He's somewhat repeating himself for emphasis' sake. That if we worship, we come in, let's say, this environment for worship, there should be a reverence, whereas we bring ourselves low as we come into the presence of our high and mighty God. You see, we don't think about kneeling anymore. But you realize that it's passages like this where kneeling comes from. And maybe you can say, well, Brother Doug, speak for yourself. Well, you know, there was a day where public kneeling before God was common practice in churches. You know, we would bow down. And we have, I think we have the concept today that if we come to the altar, that just means that there's something terribly wrong in our life. And you know, I think it's really a shame that we reserve the altar for something being terribly wrong in our lives. That's not the idea of kneeling, even though it's appropriate when you bring your burdens and your cares before the Lord. Certainly it's good to kneel, but it's also expected and good to kneel in reverence as we bow down to honor God simply because He is God. Do you do that? As I was reading this, I was reminded, you know, I don't spend nearly enough time on my knees making myself low before an awesome God. You see, I'm reminded of who He is and who I am. Without Him, I'm nothing. It is by His grace that I survive, that I exist. It is by His blessing and by His grace that I'm called to the ministry. It's by His blessing and by His grace that I even have a life. The Bible tells us that He builds up and He tears down. Do you realize, and first point, as we come before God, whether it be Sunday morning or Sunday night, one thing that should be on our mind continually is to make ourselves low before the awesome Creator of this universe. Reminds me that worship service is not about me. It's about our great God. You see, and the idea here of kneeling, it's about treating God as God and surrendering oneself to God's will, knowing that He alone is God. So the first thing in our reverence toward worship, we need to reincorporate the act of kneeling and falling down before our great God. Just as an acknowledgement of who He is. Not because we want something, but just as an acknowledgement of His high and holy position. But that's not all. I'm also reminded in this reverence, it's that it's not as though some dictator, we're coming into the presence of some dictator who, if we don't kneel down before him, will slap us in the head, you know. That's not the idea. As a matter of fact, read the rest of verse 7, or verse 7, if you will, okay? It says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." You see, it's not just bowing down. There's also an intimacy as we worship our God. In this reverence, you know, it's not like giving honor to a stranger. You know, there are people who have a higher position than I have that I might not kneel before, but I would submit to them because they are in a position of authority over me. But I don't know them personally. See, the writer, as he writes verse 7, he reminds us that God is not some distant God that we don't know personally. But rather, God is the God that we have a personal relationship. He is our God. And we know Him. And He knows us. I love the text. And I think Kelly used it last week. My sheep hear my sheep know my voice. They hear me. You see, it's that same concept. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture. You realize we're traveling on God's ground. And we are the sheep of His hand, presenting Him as the shepherd. The provision that the shepherd makes from day to day. Oh, it's so easy to take day to day for granted, isn't it? But let's face it, we get up in the morning by the grace of God. We do what we do during our day, going to work or going to play, whatever we do by the grace of our loving Heavenly Father. So the first thing we want to do is honor Him in our reverence, honor Him as God, and to remember, in honoring Him as God, it is personal. Second thing we want to do in worship, we want to respond to worship. The last part of verse 7 says, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me and tried me, though they saw my work. Hear his voice is part of worship. Yeah, it's an interesting Hebrew word. They didn't really have a Hebrew word that meant to do that. When they use this word hear, it means to listen with obedience. That when we come together for worship and we do reverence God and treat Him as God and we hear from God every time. I preach to you on Sunday morning. Please understand, I pray it's not my word, but it's God's word. Every Sunday school class that you sit under, it's not the teacher's word. It's God's word. And so, what is our response to that? Our response is that we honor God as God by our obedience, by building a life based upon the principles of the Word of God. Listen, it's one thing to bow down in the presence of God, but if you want to honor God, build your life upon God. That's where it matters. It's kind of like that two-faced person, you know, who says, I'm your friend to your face, and soon as they're not in the room with you, they're talking bad about you and doing things that would be contrary to you. That's the way that we often see Christians today. We show up at church and we sing praise, but on Monday morning it's as though we never attended on Sunday, you know? That's not who we are. That shows a lack of it just means we're not genuine. Not only do we want to bow before God and honor Him as God, we want to honor Him by the life that we live. You see, there was a problem in Israel's history, and that's what he brings out in the text when he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And he speaks of the 40 years that the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And he says, that generation tested and tried me. Now, you know, that word tried is interesting. It means to melt down metal to make it pure. Okay? But the whole idea of those two words is they pushed God. And they pushed him to see, could I get away with this? I know God said this, but this is what I'm going to do because I think God's not going to do anything. They tested God. They were the opposite of hearing with obedience. That generation, he said, tested and tried me. And where did it get them? The idea was when they left Egypt, they were going to a promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land where God would be their God and they would be God's people. But because of their rebellion, because of their testing and their trouble toward God and rebellion toward God, God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. None of them. Well, a couple of them. That whole generation died in the wilderness. Because they would not honor God as God. And they never saw the promised land. Except for Joshua and Caleb. You know, I look around today and in the lives of our community and our culture. And I'm amazed as people live like the devil, but they think God should still bless them. That's not the way it works, is it? You know? We are God's people. He is our God and we are the sheep of His hand. That means, what does sheep do? They follow the shepherd. You want to honor God? You want to worship God as God? Number one, there has to be a reverence. And number two, there has to be a response to your worship. You may be here tonight. It all sounds good, honoring God as God, but you've not started your walk with God. Listen, there's one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And when you stand before God in judgment, you will either be cast into eternal hell, or you'll hear, welcome. Well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The only way you'll enter into the joy of your Lord is through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary because you're a sinner. You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody here has. But the good news is, your sins can be forgiven. Jesus Christ gave His life to pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. And now He offers that salvation to you. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to challenge you. Will you make that commitment and commit your life into the hands of Jesus Christ today? Will you honor Him as God because He is? Will you reverence Him and bow before Him as a sinner in need of a Savior? Most importantly, will you respond? Because you've heard, will you respond in obedience? Jesus said, "Come unto Me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you come tonight to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? Heavenly Father, we approach Your throne of grace once again. I pray for those in this service who are lost. Lord, help them to realize Your love, the great love that You have had for them, so much so that You gave Your only Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice upon a cross of Calvary, who suffered and died for their behalf. Father, I pray that right now You would convict them of sin and draw them to You, and they will realize the wonderful love that You have displayed toward them, so much so that they will give their life to You tonight. And Lord, help us as Your children to be reminded that, Lord, we do owe You all the reverence that we can give. For You are God, there is none beside You. Help us all, Lord, to respond to You through our daily lives, by building our lives upon the principles of Your Word. Now, Lord, as we have this invitation, I pray Your will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, we pray. Amen.